Australian Bible Church. This is a Presbyterian church focusing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Bible, the written word of God, and there is no other than mankind. The text is taken from Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law attests the righteousness of God by other means than itself. Even the righteousness of God comes to Jew and Gentile alike through faith, which is through faith in Jesus Christ in all and on all who believe. It's like an anointing. It's like a cloak. It's like a fluid that flows in intense purity. In Jesus Christ, in all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, and that's our text. For there's no difference. For all have sinned, Jew or Gentile, tax collector or fisherman, and fall short of the glory of God. We're stunted in growth spiritually, if indeed we've started at all. And some of us have, but many have not. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How carefully he spells it all out. There's no difference. You sinned, like sheep have gone astray. Yes, yes. Everyone to his own way. There's individuality in sin. There's criminality in sin because we're breaking the law. Do you want to come and commit some crimes? That's what it amounts to. When people entice each other. Well, there are five varieties of sin I have in mind. The nature of sin is the same. Let's look at Isaiah 51:11. So the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. It had a vacation, but now it's back. They returned, ransomed, redeemed. Come to Zion with singing, everlasting, not grumbling, not mumbling. Not bumbling, not tumbling. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy. It shall be a possession, an acquisition. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The sorrow and the sighing are the part of sin. Not that you can't sigh for things which you need, which were worth sighing about. Everlasting joy on their heads. That's its nature. It's like having a shoulder muscle. It's something you have. Sometimes it's more obvious than others. Sometimes it's somewhat stressed. But it's there. I, even I, am he who coming, who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid? That the man who will die, of a man who will die, and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass. And even forget the Lord your Maker, who stretches out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You are feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor when he has prepared to destroy. And when the fury of, and where is the fury of the oppressor? Of the oppressor. Sin evacuates that. Sin mars that. Short circuits that. But when they come back, ransomed, redeemed, released, revived, restored, then there's everlasting joy on their heads. And that difference is the sameness of sin and the differentiation where all we, like sheep, have gone astray. The result of sin is the same. Wages are paid. The kingdom of heaven has this honesty. You work for sin, it pays the wages. Why is that? Because the wages of sin is death, that's why. It's a retribution. The result of sin is the same. The experience of sin is the same. Isaiah 59 is the place to see that. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Well, there it is. Why are we like orphans? Christ said the exact opposite. Why are we separated? Why are we so lonely? The people chant. Well, there it is. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Hence you feel a chance object frothed around in a meaningless universe. You're separated from God, and that's for your current domicile. And your sins have hidden his face from you. Why can't I see God? Why can't I understand him and just speak with him? Well, your sins have separated. There is no difference. So that you will not hear. Will not. But your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Evolution's one of them. Old age earth is another. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. Many have actually taught people utter rubbish, irrational irrealism, distorted their entire lives, tuned them in to resound to aggressive obtaining of what is not theirs, as though it were a virtue and would lead to a superior human race, when in fact it is guttural, horrible, guttersnipe nonsense. Your tongue has muttered perversity, ever more than this. Just take a look at Parliament, again and again. Foolish people utter perverse prongs of words. Teach just as we preach, but they teach the exact opposite. Grab, get, grasp, pile, get returns. Don't worry about other people's feelings. They have to suffer them. That's their part, is it? Well, if you were God, you'd make a difference, but you're not, and that does make a difference. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. Yes, I remember when I was lecturing in the university, as it was then, or one of them, and the woman said, "What is truth?" and all this sort of thing. She refused to honour truth. The fact that evolution was wrong couldn't worry her. It didn't matter. They're not concerned with truth. They're concerned with convenience. It's like a fallen woman, consumed with convenience, out on the streets of unreality, perverting the beauty of marriage. No one calls for justice, verse 4, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs, viper sort of snake, and weave the spider's web. Poisonous, hidden, sudden, unexpected, and subtle. From that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, but nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. That's the experience of evil. That's what it is. That's what is being processed by the human mind in such cases. The evacuative thrust of sin is the same. Sin evacuates goodness. Isaiah 48. Hear this, O house of Israel, of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and have come forth, the wellsprings from the wellsprings of Judah, who threat by the name of the Lord, who swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness, for they call themselves after the holy city, and lean on the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that you are obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning I had declared to you, before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them. And they cannot. And the carved image and the mold, my molded image, I have. Commanded them. And so the lie, the idol, similar word, proceeds. You have heard. See all this? And will you not declare it? Won't you take stuff from God's mouth and declare it and do it openly instead of other stuff? Things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They were created now and not from the beginning. Before this day, lest you should say, of course I knew them. Surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely from long ago, your ear was opened, for I knew that you would deal very treacherously and were called transgressors from the womb. Profanity, urbanity, and spiritually insanity. The spiritual man is insane, says Hosea. The evacuative power of sin. All the good things go. In another place he says, oh, that you listened to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waters of the sea. But not so now. The fullness, the abundance, the blessing, all this would have been. It's no use saying God predestines. God knows all the wriggles and the beginnings and the endings and the sideways thrusts and all the rest of it. As though it were a long boat voyage. But in the heart, in essence, in kernel, this is the nature of the character. This is the nature of the person. So that is the experience and the evacuative thrust. Things were very different. So different that God said, oh, that you had listened, and if they had, and he wouldn't be saying, oh, that you had listened if they couldn't listen. Though that may be a later stage of the spiritual pathology. Oh, that you had listened. We are very responsible, very sensitive. We are able to lean just a little way, and before long, we are urbanized into sin, rebellious, exidy, which means boredom, sickness of doing these things, habituation to the point of disgust, as in Malachi. Would you open the door for nothing? Buzz around and get involved. But don't put your heart into it and make sure you get paid for everything, won't you? Such is the evacuative thrust on goodness of sin. Then there's the repayment cost of sin. It's also the same. God says in Deuteronomy 32:28. In this amazing poem of Moses, for they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. All that we were wise, you see again, that they were something they ought to be and are not. There is freedom. Oh, that they were wise. You're free to follow the word of God or not. If you're a Christian, you will be so accoutred, so clothed with grace, that you will be thrust in the channels of righteousness. But you can resist, as you see with David and Bathsheba, that they will consider their latter end. Look to your destiny. Consider where you're going, where you're getting. Why are you getting there? Here, one could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them. For their rock is not like our rock, even their enemies themselves being judges. For the vine is of the vine of Sodom, and the fields of Gomorrah. The grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the cruel venom of cobras. Is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine and recompense. I wouldn't care to suffer a fusillade of vengeance from the Lord. Their foot shall slip in due time. There's a destiny for you. Oh, him. His foot will slip. Yeah, but he's doing well. In due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the time to come hastens upon them. The Lord will judge his people. Israel's repayment draws near. This is a different line of business. Jeremiah 31:27. Behold, the days are coming. This is a particularly significant verse. 31:27. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. It shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck them up, to break them down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days there shall no more say the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children are set, and the children's teeth are set an edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on them. Behold, the days are coming, and here it forecasts that sending of the Holy Spirit which Christ intimated would come. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So it's not only going to be plus plus, it's going to be plus plus plus. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. That's Israel's repayment. It suffered enormously. But better that than lying outside amid the flames. Besides which, the exquisite delight of being in the very presence of God, the ultimate, the utter, the wonder, the miraculous, the supernatural, the reliable, the faithful, that overcomes everything. And so we have Israel's repayment, a repayment of bounty, of good, of restoration, of reparation, of power, of going back to their more extensive lands. Return to the land. Lost, return. Messiah to rule, and to rule the whole world. Israel lost its land, didn't it? It lost it for a long while, didn't it? It suffered enormously while outside the protection of the Lord, to some extent. But this world, with specific reference to the Gentiles, will be lost a longer time than that, forever. Oh, yes. There's a parallel you perhaps haven't thought of. This world will be lost forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, Matthew 24:35. But my words will not pass away. This world will pass away. That's a flat statement from Christ Jesus. There's no use imagining, oh, all these are dreams. This world will pass away. In Revelation, in the last chapters, we learn that the earth fled away and there was no place found for it. Same thing. Completely mutually conforming. This world will pass away. And Isaiah 51:6. Let's look that up. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. Your smoke does tend to just dissipate, disappear. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. Like an old garment, ragged, unreliable, easily ripping, unsuitable for clothing, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and thank God for that. And my righteousness will not be abolished. Thank goodness for that. So, sin is a demolition squad. It demolishes things. And this world is one of those things. You say, God couldn't possibly demolish this world. Peter tells us so in the most exquisite language in chapter 3, 2 Peter. This world will pass away. Revelation 20 tells us, 2 Peter 3 tells us, Isaiah 51 tells us, Matthew 24 tells us. How many more times do we need to be told? That's sin. There's no difference. Highly specialized in many respects, it nevertheless has the same underflow. It's like rocks. They're different on the surface, but many of them have hundreds of squares, some of them have hundreds of square miles of one rock surface, deposited, of course, by the flood. And so we come to the end of sin. And it's the best part of sin to come to and to stay outside it. Sin is like a big pair of jaws gobbling up virtue, beauty, grace, courage, loveliness, all these things. Sin is a spiritual sinecure. It's worth nothing, it grabs nothing, but it loses everything. Amen to sin. Hallelujah to salvation. Thank God the difference and mutually mutualize. Thank God for Christ Jesus the Savior. Cattle on a thousand hills are his. His way is the way of intense righteousness, uncompromising, unquenched holiness. And we have in him rest. Rest. Rest from the ways of wickedness, ambiguity, uncertainty. We may wrestle like Jacob, but then we have rest. Waiting in the Lord. Received, accepted, prepared, blessed, sustained, warranted, guaranteed. Amen. Our Father, we thank Thee for the grace of the place of the kingdom of heaven. And we thank Thee that the God who made all the creation, and we spend some time looking at it geologically, biologically, physiologically, the one who made all creation, what glories He has in His hold, in His keeping. Not used on voyage, but used as soon as you get there. Thank God for that. Praise God for His mercies. Always endure. Amen.